Welcome into a Capstone News Now Extra, an online exclusive. We have Tim Keel. He's a senior from Salt Lake City, Utah, physics and mathematics major. He's also a gentleman who spoke at Tide Talks the other night, Tide Talks 4. Title of his Tide Talk was Hope, Fear, and Science. Tim Keel, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Well, very good. You know, I watched your Tide Talk in person, and then I listened to it again when we broadcasted it live over the air. And I have to say, I thought it was very thoughtful, very informative. If you had to give a 20-second gist of what exactly your view was for your Tide Talk, Hope, Fear, and Science, what would it be?
Well, what I mostly wanted to do was I wanted to go in there and correct some misapprehensions people have about technologies that we were coming out with. And just talk a little bit about the future that we're going to get out of them, the ways they're going to save the world, I believe I phrased it. Very, very exciting stuff.
They seem to be, and we'll get to those specifically in a minute, genetics and nuclear energy and things like that. But real quick, I always love to talk about interesting people on the Capstones. One reason why we partner with Tide Talks, because I think, David Phelps, the organizer of Tide Talks, does such a great job of finding interesting folks around campus that most people wouldn't hear from other than for Tide Talks. And you're a very interesting guy. First of all, you're pretty funny, which is interesting to mix physics and mathematics with a humor. I'm sure that's not something that most people think about. But what got you involved into physics and mathematics? Because that sounds absolutely terrible, Tim.
Okay, yes. Well, when I was in high school, I was going through a pretty intense program and realized I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life. So I thought, hey, let's work this out. So I went to a library and just checked out a book and everything I'd ever been interested in. And theoretical physics was the one that I read the most and spent the most time on.
So what were the other things in the library that you checked out that day?
I checked out, I'd had a good math background, so I checked out a few more specific math things and a few things in English. I love writing, I love trying to communicate, at least attempting, stuff like that. But physics is the only one that really sticks with me. I don't remember most of the others.
It's very interesting. We're talking to Tim Keel, the author of a lecture at Tide Talks titled Hope, Fear, and Science. So you have an interest in politics as well, which is somewhat obvious from your Tide Talks, and a lot of it has a spin to it, which is politically minded. Where did that interest come into?
Well, it's mostly that I have the people that got me interested in physics. Brilliant authors, and of course the classics, Carl Sagan, Bill Nye, Neil deGrasse Tyson. There's a huge lack of physicists that are out there communicating with average people. It's very important to do so, and average people have a huge say in politics. Politics has a huge say in funding. Funding determines science. So I would like to cast myself in a role that allows me to be a science advisor, policy advisor maybe, or a general speaker on science.
So that's what you want to see yourself move into, is more policy issues and things like that. You mentioned John F. Kennedy during your Tide Talks, and we heard a little bit from him, obviously, and President Kennedy was very well famous for saying that he wanted to go to the moon by the end of the decade, that being the 1960s. Indeed, it was successful. Of course, it happened under Nixon when he was president, but in 1969, of course, we landed on the moon. Do you think, and this is something that I like to ask people, that we need another moonshot in this country, and maybe it's not necessarily space race oriented, but we need the president, whoever it is, and President Obama has signaled somewhat to this, but saying, hey, you know, at the end of 5 years, at the end of 10 years, we're going to be off fossil fuels, or something seemingly incredibly difficult, but somehow marshaling the scientific community to get that goal. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it would be brilliant if that were to happen. I don't think the climate is quite right for it. I think we need to sow the climate first, and then we might be able to get an announcement like that. But back then,
what does that mean, though? What does sow the climate mean for you?
To give an example, during the space race, there was something heavily on the American public's mind: Russia, USSR. And this was a great way, Kennedy's announcement was a great means of getting back at the Russians almost during this depressing Cold War time. And there was the whole public was already focused on this, so channeling that into science and scientific development was a really smart move. And I don't think we have quite the same outlook right now. We don't have something that we would all, that we're all really on board for yet. Not yet. I think it's brewing.
So how long is it then, Tim, in your best estimation, before the majority of vehicles on the road are going to be run by something other than fossil fuels?
Well, I think that's going to be probably minimum estimate, I would say 2 decades. Not uber positive on that score, because it just takes so much to convert all of our current resources over to that. But they will definitely be, I would say, 20 years before it's a majority.
Does, and that's current projections, and obviously the current administration has done a good deal in terms of raising gas standards, in terms of that. But has there been enough done governmentally? Because the private sector's so far pretty much done the heavy lifting on this. Has the public sector done enough, do you think? And we'll move to a different subject in a second. Mm-hmm. And trying to further that goal?
No, not at all. I really don't think not enough at all. I think a lot of these future developments, it's going to have to be capitalism that bears the brunt getting it started. Once some infrastructure has been laid, I think the government will get on board and be very happy about it, and maybe even say it was their idea.
I'm talking to Tim Keel. He gave a TIDE Talks the other night titled Hope, Fear, and Science. He's from Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, Tim, stereotype of Utah is a pretty conservative place, a place where science may not be necessarily in the forefront of most people's minds. What is your take on that? Was that the truth in your upbringing?
Well, I was not brought up at Salt Lake City, actually, mostly because of what you just said. My parents were our philosophy professors, and they wanted to get out of there as soon as physically possible when they were raising me. So I spent most of my time moving around, actually. Indiana, Egypt, Britain.
Egypt? You spent time in Egypt. When was that?
That was middle school years. Very interesting years.
So you remember a great deal about your time there, then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is your experience living abroad?
Well, I don't feel like an American, for starters, most days.
Really?
I feel like a bit of an outsider. And it's really helped me. I really think of the world as a more multinational community than I think most people do, particularly in America. And my experience with research is really moving out of America in a lot of ways to other places. So it's made me realize the importance of just unifying the world, having something big to get on together with. I don't know. It's a very vague feeling.